dear listeners, we, Radio Our Queen of Peace, would like to introduce to you a testimony of Miss Gloria Polo, a Colombian dentist who died and returned. Mark Stedman, Ming In, and Kim Ha are reading from Chapter 5 to Chapter 8 of the testimony.
Chapter 5, The Souls of Purgatory. Note that I was an atheist, but there I began to cry out, "Souls of Purgatory, please pull me out of here. I beg you, help me." While I was crying out, I began to hear thousands of persons, youth, yes, above all youth, with so much suffering. I perceived that there, in that horrible place, in that quagmire of hate and of suffering, they were gashing their teeth with screams and laments that filled me with compassion that I was never able to forget. Already 10 years have passed, but I still cry and suffer when I remember the suffering of all those persons.
I was saying, I understood that in that place there were those persons who, in one moment of desperation, they committed suicide. Now they are in those torments with those horrible beings near them, surrounded by demons, and torment them. But the cruelest of these torments was the absence of God, because there one does not feel God. I understood that those who in one moment of desperation took their lives had to remain there within those torments until all the time that they might have spent on the earth has passed, because of all those who kill themselves go out of the divine order. Those poor persons, above all so many youth, many, they cry and suffer much. If man might know the suffering that awaits him, never could anyone make the decision to take his life. Do you know what the greatest torment is there? It is to see how one's own parents or relatives who are alive are crying and suffering with a tremendous sense of guilt. If I could have punished, or if I could not have punished, if I had said to him, or if I had not said to him, if I had done this or that. In the end, these regrets so terrible a true help for those who love them and remain in this life. They are what makes them suffer the most. It is the greatest torment for them, and it is here that the demons rage, showing these sins. Look how your mother cries. Look how she suffers. Look how your father suffers. Look how they are desperate, how they are distressed, how they blame themselves and disgust, accusing each other reciprocally. Look all the suffering that you caused them. Look how they rebel against God. Look at your family. All this because of your fault. That which these poor souls need is that those who remain down here might begin a work of conversion, that they might change their life, that they might do works of charity, that they might visit the sick, and that they might offer masses in suffrage for the soul of the dead. These souls benefit enormously from all of this. In fact, the souls who find themselves in purgatory can no longer do anything for themselves, nothing. But God, yes, through the Mass. Also, we must help them in this way. I thus understood that those poor souls could not help me. And in this suffering, in this anguish, I began again to cry out. But here there is an error. See, I am a saint. I never stole. I never killed. I never did anything evil to anyone. On the contrary, before failing in my business, I imported the best products from Switzerland. I extracted and adjusted teeth. Many times I did not require the clients to pay if they were unable. I bought things and I gave them to the poor. What am I doing here? I was vindicating my right. I, who was so good, who could have to go straight to heaven. What was I doing here? I went every Sunday to Mass, even though I consider myself an atheist, and I did not pay attention to what the priest was saying. I never missed Mass. If I missed Mass 5 times in my whole life, it was a lot. What is it that I was doing there? But what I'm doing here? Pull me out of here. Take me out of here. I continued, shouting, terrified, with those horrible beings hanging on to me. I am Catholic. I am Catholic. Please get me out of here. Chapter 6. I saw my parents. When I shouted out that I was Catholic, I saw a little light. And you see that a small light, even very small, in that darkness, is the maximum. It is the greatest gift that one can receive. I saw some steps at the top of this chasm, and I see my father, who died 5 years before, almost at the entrance of the abbey. He had a little bit of light. And 4 more steps up, I saw my mother with much more light, and in a position like this, as in prayer. As soon as I saw them, I experienced a joy so great that I began to cry out, "Dad! Mom! What joy! Come and take me! Come and take me out here! Dad! Mom! Please get me out here! I beg you, carry me out here! Carry me away!" While all this was happening, my body was in a deep coma. I was intubated, connected to the machines, and agonizing. Air was not entering into my lungs. The kidneys were not working. If I was connected to the machinery, it was only because of my sister, who is a doctor, had insisted. With her colleagues, invoked the motive that they were not God. In fact, they thought that it was not worthwhile to keep me alive, and they spoke in these terms to my relatives. They said it was not the case to keep going relentlessly, that it was better to let me die tranquilly, because in any case I found myself in agony. My sister insisted so strongly that day. Do you know the incoherence? I defended euthanasia, the right to die in a dignified way. The doctor did not let anyone enter where I was, except this, my sister doctor, who remained continually next to me. When my soul, which was in the beyond, saw my parents, my sister, who was near my body in coma, she heard me clearly crying out to them, so happy that they might come to take me. Perhaps it might have happened to one of you to have heard a person in the state of unconsciousness to cry out or pronounce some words. This is what happened with me. I almost caused my sister to die in fright. In fact, I began to cry out with joy when I saw them, asking them to come to take me. And so my sister, who heard all of this, shouted, "Now is it that she is dead, my sister? My mother and my father have come to take her. Go away, do not take her. Go away, Mom, please. Go away, Dad, please. Do not take her. Do you not see that she has small children? Do not take her away. Do not take her away." The doctors had to pull her out of there, thinking that my poor sister was delirious, that she might be in the state of shock, which could have been normal, because it was not a small thing, that was happening, the death of my cousin, to go to take the corpse to the mortuary. The sister who dies, do not die, but will not live more than 24 hours, according to the opinion of the doctors. It was by now 3 days that she went forward in this anguish, and this without any sleep. Do not be surprised that they believe her to be exhausted and prey to hallucination. For my situation, imagine what joy when I see my parents in that place, in that situation so horrible in which I found myself. I see my parents. When they looked toward me and they saw me there, you cannot imagine the immense pain that their faces revealed. Since there, we perceive and we see the sentiments of the others. I saw the pain that they felt, that suffering up there so great. My father began to cry so much, and he cried out, "My daughter, oh no, my God, my daughter, no, my God, my little daughter, no." My mother was praying, and when she looked toward me and saw my sorrow in my eyes, but at the same time nothing took away the peace and the sweetness of her face, not even a tear. Instead of crying, she lifted up her eyes, then turned to look toward me. I understood with horror that they could not pull me out of there. This augmented my suffering, seeing them there sharing my pain without being able to do anything for me. I understood also that they were there to give an account to the Lord of the education that they had given to me. They were the tutors, to which was confided the job of looking after the talents that God had given to me. With their life and their testimony, they had to protect me from the attacks of Satan, and they had to nourish the graces that God had put me by way of baptism. Our parents are the guardians of the talents that God gave to the children. When I saw their suffering, above all that of my father, I cried out again, desperate, "Take me out of here, take me out of here. I do not have fault to be here, because I'm Catholic. Pull me out of here."
Chapter 7, My Judgment. When I cried out again that I was Catholic, brothers, I heard a voice so sweet, but so sweet, so beautiful that it filled everything with peace and love and made my soul jump. Those horrible creatures that were clinging to me, at hearing it, immediately prostrated themselves in adoration and asked permission to withdraw themselves, because they could not stand the sweetness of that voice. Then something that opened like a mouth hanging down, and they filled with fear. Just imagine this. When I see those beings, those horrific demons, they are prostrated at the mere hearing the voice of the Lord. Notwithstanding the cry of Satan, and thus they hear it is something very unpleasant, they throw themselves on their knees. Then I saw the Most Blessed Virgin prostrated when the priest elevated our Lord in the host during the Mass that was celebrated for the soul of my cousin, the Virgin Mary interceded for me, prostrated at the feet of our Lord. She gathered all the prayers that the people of my earth made for me, and she presented them to him. You know, at the moment of the elevation, when the priest lift up the host, one feast, the presence of Jesus, everyone prostrated themselves on their knees, even the demons. And I, who went to the Mass without the least of respect, without giving the attention, with gum to chew in my mouth, sometimes dozing off, looking around, lost in thousand banal thoughts. And then I had the gifts of the complaint, full of pride that God did not listen to me when I asked something from Him. Believe me, it was staggering to see how, at the passing of our Lord, all those creatures, all those frightening beings threw themselves on the ground in an impressive adoration. I saw the Virgin Mary graciously prostrate at the feet of the Lord, praying for me in adoration before Him. And I, a sinner with my rubbish, treating Him without my respect and saying that I was good, yes, miserably good, denying and blaspheming the Lord. Imagine what a sinner I was. When even the demons prostrated themselves on the ground at the passing of the Lord Jesus Christ, that voice so beautiful says to me, "Very well, if you are Catholic, tell me which are the commandments of the law of God." Thing of the light, that question I just did not expect. I only knew that there were 10 and then nothing more. And now, how do I cope with this? I was thinking, afflicted. I remember then that my mother used to say that the first commandment was love. She spoke of it always. Love of God and love of neighbor. In the end of discouraged of my mother were useful for something, I say to myself. So I closed this answer, hoping that it would suffice and that the rest might not be noticed. I was thinking to get by in this way, as I always did when I was in life. In fact, I always had the answer already, the perfect answer. I always succeed in justifying myself and in defending myself in such a way that no one discovered that which I did not know. Now, I though to manage in the same way, and I began to say, the first commandment is to love God above everything else and the neighbor as myself. "Very well," he said to me, "and you did this, did you love?" Totally confused, I replied, "Yes." But that wonderful voice say, "No." I assure you that when he said to me no, then it was that fell the strike of the lightning bolt. In fact, I still did not feel on which side it had struck me. But when I heard that no, I felt all the pain of the lightning bolt. I fell naked, all my marks fell, and I remained uncovered. That soft voice continued to say to me, "No, you did not love your Lord above all things and even less did you love your neighbor as yourself. You made of yourself a god that you model on yourself, on your life, only in moments of extremely necessity or in suffering you remember your Lord, and then yes, you knelt down, you cry, you ask, you offer novenas, you propose to yourself, go to Mass, to pray groups asking for some graces or a miracle. When you were poor, when your family was humble, when you still desire to become a professional, then yes, every day you used to pray on your knees, whole hours, beseeching your Lord. You should pray asking me to pull you out of that poverty, that I might permit you to become a professional and to become someone. When you found yourself in need and you needed money, then yes, you promised it. I pray the rosary, but you, Lord, grant me the little money. This was the relationship that you used to have with the Lord. Never did you keep one promise made, not even one, and be one not keeping the promises. You never thank me. And the Lord insists to this. You gave your word. You made a promise to the Lord, but you never kept them. The Lord showed me one of my many prayers. When I asked Him the grace to have my first car, I would pray, and everything humble I would ask that please He might grant also only a little car, even an old one. It is not important. Just so it works. But as soon as I obtained it, I was desired. I did not even say thanks to the Lord. And 8 days later, not only did I not thank Him, but already I denied Him and I spoke bad about Him. He showed me how, in all the graces that He granted me, not only I was lacking in regards to make promises, but I did not even give thanks. I saw the Lord in the truly sad way. You know, my relationship with God was like a bank cash dispenser. I put in rosary, and He was supposed to give me money. And if He did not give it to me, I rebelled. The Lord showed me all of this. Just as soon as He permitted me to have my profession, and in consequence to begin to have the certain practice and also money, the name of God was already not comfortable to me. I began to feel I was great without ever having for Him the least expansion of love or gratitude. To be grateful, never, not even a thank you for the few days that He gave me, or for my health, or for having a roof where I live, or even a prayer of compassion for those poor little ones who do not have a house, nor something to eat, nothing. Ungrateful to the max. More than anything else, I became more incredulous in regards to my Lord, why I believe in Venus and Mercury for fortune. I went blindly after astrology, saying that the star directs of my life. I began to believe in all the doctrines that the world offered me. I believe, for example, in reincarnation. I convinced myself, simply, one would die and wood tree begin from the top, and I forgot it cost a price of blood to my Lord Jesus. The Lord continued, all that you had, it was not given to you because you had asked for it, but it was a blessing that you received from heaven. You instead say to have obtained all by yourself, because you were a worker, a fighter, that everything you had conquered with your hands and by the force of study. No, look, how many professionals are there more qualified than you, who work as much as more than you? The Lord gave me an examine of the Ten Commandments, showing me that which I was. That was in words, I say, to adore and love God. But on the contrary, I adore Satan. In my outpatient clinic, a lady who read the cards would usually come, and she did some magic in order to set free from bad influences, and used to say, I do not believe in these things, but do it anyway, because one never knows. And she did her devilment in a corner where no one saw. She put a horseshoe and an aloe plant in order to keep away bad fortune and other such things. Do you know what I did? Permitting this, I opened the door to the demons so that they could enter at the pleasure and to circulate freely, merrily, in my outpatient clinic and in my life. You see that all this is shameful. God made an analysis of my whole life, and in light of the Ten Commandments, He showed me that which I was in my relationship with the neighbor and with Him. I criticized everything and everyone, and everyone pointed with their finger, Holy Gloria. He showed me when I say to love God and neighbor. But on the contrary, I was very envious. Now I saw that when I deceive someone I lie, it was like committing perjury. Because in the moment in which I say I am Catholic, I declare that Jesus Christ was my Lord, and all the same time I gave testimony to lies and deception. How much evil I did to so many people. As for the rest, I was never grateful for my parents, all that sacrifice and commitment so that I might have a profession and to triumph in life. For all the sacrifice and their efforts that they did, but I did not see them. I ignored them. And as soon as I had my work, then even diminishes in my eyes to the point to be ashamed of my mother for her humility and poverty. Jesus continued to show me how I was in no way grateful in regard to Him, and the laziness that I had in going to Mass when I still lived with my parents. And my mother commanded me to go. I say to her, but Mom, if God is everywhere, what need do I have to go to church for the Mass? Clearly, for me, it was every convenience to talk like this, and Jesus showed this to me. I had the Lord 24 hours a day for me. All my life, God took care of me, and I so lazy to dedicate it to Him a little time on Sunday to show Him my gratitude, my love for Him. But the worst thing was know that the frequent the church meant to nourish my soul, I instead dedicated myself totally to the care of my body. I became to slave to my flesh, and I forgot this particular that I had a soul, and never did I take care of it. Regarding the word of God, I even say imprudently that the one who read the Bible a lot became crazy. I arrived to the point to be a blasphemer, and the incoherence of my life brought me to say, but what most holy, and God would be present there in the ciborium and in the chalice. The priest should add brandy to give a good flavor. To what point did I arrive in regarding my relationship with God? Left my soul without nourishment, and as if that were not enough, the only thing I did was criticize the priest. If you know, brothers, how bad I felt about this before Jesus, the Lord showed me how my soul was reduced due to all these criticisms. Beyond everything else, consider the fact that I declare a priest to be homosexual, and the whole community came to know this. You cannot imagine the evil that I did to that priest. No, you cannot imagine it. I cannot tell you about it, because it would be too long. I tell you only that one word only has the power to kill and destroy souls. Now I saw the evil that I had done. My shame was so great that there are no words to describe it. Can I only beg you not to do the same? Do not criticize. Pray. I saw that the gravest fault which stained my soul, that drew more curses in my life, was to speak evil about the priest. Chapter 8. Pray for the priest. My family always criticized the priest from when we were small. My father and everyone in the house used to criticize and say, these priests are womanizers and have more money than us, and they are this and they are that. And we would repeat this, our Lord say to me, almost shouting, who did you think you are, to make yourself God and just my consecrated ones? They are of flesh, and the sanctity is to them given for the benefit of the communities in which I put there as a gift. And the communities have the obligation to pray for him, to love him, and to support him. Might you know, brothers, that when a priest falls, it will be the community to respond regarding his sanctity. The devil hates Catholics immensely. More the priest, he hates our church, because where there is a priest who consecrates, I open a parenthesis. You must all know that the priest, even though remaining a man, is a consecrated one of the Lord, recognized by the Eternal Father, so that in a piece of bread happens in miracle, a transubstantiation by the hands of the priest. It becomes the body of blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And these hands, the devil hates them intensely, terribly. The evil detests us Catholics due to the Eucharist, because the Eucharist is an open door for heaven, and it is the only door. Without the Eucharist, no one enters into heaven. When a person is agonizing, God comes beside this person, independent of the religion that he belongs to or his beliefs. The Lord reveals himself and says to him affectionately, with love and mercy, I am your Lord. And if the person asks for pardon and accepts this Lord, something happens that is difficult to explain. Jesus immediately brings this soul to where the Mass is being celebrated in the moment, and the person receives viaticum, which is mystical communion. Because only the one who receives the body and blood of Jesus Christ can enter into heaven. It is something mystical. It is immense grace that we have in the Catholic Church, a grace that God has given to our church, and many people speak badly about this church, and yet by way of her, they receive salvation and go to purgatory, and there they continue to benefit by the grace of the Eucharist. They go to purgatory, but they are saved. Because of this, the devil hates very much the priest, because where there is a priest, there are the hands that consecrate the bread and the wine, making them to become for us the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Thus, we must pray very much for the priests, because the devil attacks them constantly. Our Lord showed me all of this.